With great power comes great responsibility.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Maybe your army comes, and maybe it's too much for us, but it's all on you. Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Wonder Woman!
Journey into...
The Superhero Marathon Spectacular!
Hello everybody, this is Marshall Latham, welcoming you to another Superhero Marathon Spectacular here on the Journey Into podcast. You know, I did this like 9 years ago. It seems crazy that it was that long ago. But November of 2013, I did a Superhero Marathon Spectacular. Every day that month, I put something out superhero related. Some of it was old-time radio shows. Some of it was just me talking about superheroes. And I think the last two episodes of that was like where I went through every superhero movie that I'd seen, or I had a list of all the superhero movies that were out there and whether I saw them, what I thought of them, if I did see them. And the last one that I talked about was Iron Man 3. So the beginning of phase 2 of the MCU is where I left off with my lightning round. And boy, how many superhero movies have there been since then? I don't know if I have it in me to go through all the superhero movies that have come out between now and 2013. I don't know. Maybe I'll end this with another lightning round. But we'll see. I'm just starting to record these episodes. I'm going to start these out with 13 episodes. The only episodes that exist of the Fantastic Four radio program. So this is old-time radio of the Fantastic Four from 1975. And I was so excited when I found out about this several years ago. I was going to do this Superhero Marathon Spectacular 2 a few years back, but I never got to it. It was after I found this, I'm like, man, I could do another superhero marathon starting out with the Fantastic Four radio show. It just blew me away that this was something that happened, that something that I enjoy, old time radio and the Fantastic Four combined together to form Captain Planet. No, wait, that's something else. No, but anyway, I just really dug this. And I think I'm going to end up talking a lot about Fantastic Four because there is an imminent Fantastic Four movie coming. When is it? 2025 or something like that? Yeah, not right away, but coming soon. I have a lot of thoughts about what I'd like to see and what I've already seen. And so we'll talk about some Fantastic Four movies, definitely. But we're going to start out here with these first 13 episodes of the Fantastic Four radio show. I'm not going to give it away until after we listen to the episode. But there's a very familiar voice that you might recognize from this radio show. Yes, Stan Lee is in it. I'll tell you that. It's not Stan Lee. He is the narrator for this, which is awesome. But there's another guy in here that it just blew me away that he had anything to do with the Fantastic Four. So here we go with the first episode. So come with me and let's journey into the space age.
Attention, all true believers. Marvel Comics is on the air. Out of the pages of the world's greatest comic magazine come the adventures of the Fantastic Four. This week's epic, the first tale in this new radio series, is from the original book of Marvel called The Fantastic Four Meet the Mole Man, the beginnings of which we shall witness in just half a moment.
It's mid-afternoon in New York City. Through the din of midday traffic is heard a strange explosion. A symbol takes shape in the city's sky, and a legend is born.
Hey, look up there. What does that mean?
Could it be an invasion?
And high above the excitement and hubbub, one man holds the still smoldering flare gun. One individual who is somehow more than just a man. He is the leader of the Fantastic Four.
This is the first time that I've had to use the signal, and I pray it will be the last.
In another part of Manhattan, Susan Storm is having tea with a society friend when she hears...
Sue, look out there.
What?
That symbol in the sky. What do you suppose it means?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jackie. I have to go now.
What? But we haven't even started our lunch.
So it's happened at last. I must be true to my vow. There's no turning back.
She's gone. But how?
It's time for the world to meet the Invisible Girl.
And at the same time, in a men's clothing store downtown...
I'm sorry, sir, but we don't carry anything large enough to fit a man of your stature.
Bah! Everywhere I go, it's the same story. I'm in a world too small.
Say, look in the sky. That bright red symbol with the number 4 inside?
Huh?
What can it mean?
Let me see that.
So the time has come.
Out of my way!
What?
Why do they build doorways so narrow?
Holy smokes, a monster! Officer, do something!
Art! Heart or I'll shoot! I warn you!
What do I suppose New York people are so friendly?
Did you see that?
He'll get that manhole cover out of the ground with his bare hands.
Take my special underground express route. There are so many tunnels under the city, and this is faster than subways. Quieter, too. Ah, this ought to be far enough. There's no opening above. I'll just have to make an opening.
A monster came up out of the ground.
It don't look human. We're being invaded by Martians. Call out the army.
Oh, we're being invaded.
Invaded? Well, before we make such a decision, let's observe another scene at Swanson's garage.
We got her purring like a lamb, Johnny boy.
Good, that's the way it should be. There's only one thing I like better than working on cars.
What's that?
Hey, look.
What's that in the sky?
That's my cue. Flame on.
Hey, Johnny, what's happening to you?
Remember me saying there's only one thing I like better than working on cars? Well, this is it.
The figure which just seconds before had been Johnny Storm is now the Human Torch, flying through the skies like a flaming meteor.
Red Dog Base to Squadron Leader, scramble alert. You are authorized to locate and bring down unidentifiable flaming object now flying over Manhattan.
And within a few minutes, Johnny Storm is in a dogfight for his life.
I can't keep this up much longer. My flame's gonna run out. Oh no, I'm falling. I'm not gonna make it.
And then, just as the flying boy's flame begins to flicker out altogether, two impossibly long arms stretch out and...
Gotcha.
The now flameless Human Torch is plucked from the air by the strange man who fired the flare which caused all the commotion.
Thanks, Reed.
Oh, you're safe now, lad.
Who is this man? In fact, who are all four of these astonishing humans? How did they become what they are? What mystic quirk of fate brought them all together to form the Fantastic Four?
Well, you all came when I summoned you. Good. There's a task that awaits us. An awesome task.
There's time for us to learn of the task awaiting these four, but first, let us uncover the origins of this colorful quartet. That requires a bit of Marvel magic as we travel back to a time and place before there was a Fantastic Four. Back to the office of Dr. Reed Richards in the Federal Space Exploration Complex, where Dr. Richards is briefing his team. So, as you can see, we have a clear time window at 9:40 tonight, and then not again for 3 years. If we're to be the first in space, we must leave tonight.
What? You're not going tonight with me as pilot. You know we haven't done enough research into the effects of cosmic rays. Out in space, they could kill us all.
Ben, we've got to take that chance. Unless you want the Reds to beat us to it. I never thought you were a coward.
Coward? Get that ship. I'll fly her no matter what happens.
And so, led by a determined Dr. Reed Richards, the group speeds to the spaceport.
Susan, Ben and I know what we're doing, but you and Johnny, you two don't...
Don't say it, Reed. I've been working on this for too long. Where you go, I go.
And I'm tagged along with Sis, so it's settled. No time to wait for clearance. Conditions are right now.
I think this is a stupid thing you're doing, but I ain't no coward.
And before the guards can stop them, the mighty ship, which Reed Richards has spent years constructing, is streaking for the heavens, climbing into space.
Hey, this hurts. Feels like I have a ton of concrete on my chest.
Caused by our fantastic rate of acceleration, Johnny.
Right, but the ship is acting like a perfect baby.
Yeah, but we still don't know about those cosmic rays.
Higher and higher, like a silver bullet, the sleek spacecraft soars.
Hear that?
The rays are penetrating the ship.
I warned you.
My head is... It's pounding like it's going to burst.
Rays have attracted my hands. I can't steer.
Ben was right. We should have waited.
We should have had heavier shielding.
But sis, I feel like I'm burning up. My body is so hot.
Can't move. I tried to warn you.
At that moment, the powerful rocket's autopilot takes over and the sleek ship returns to Earth in a rugged but non-fatal landing. Leaving our quartet of cosmically charged champions deep in the jungles of South America.
Oh.
Reed, after all your work, we failed.
I'm just grateful we're all alive.
But we failed.
Bah, what'd you expect? And we still don't know what effects the cosmic rays will have on us.
Oh, Reed, I feel strange.
Susan! Look at Susan!
Sis, what's happening?
You're fading away.
Oh, no! What's happening to me? Reed, Ben, Johnny!
Somehow the cosmic rays have altered your DNA, making you invisible.
Sis, I can't see you at all anymore.
Tried to tell you to wait.
How long will it last, Reed?
That's gotta be the question of the century. How long will it last?
There's no way of knowing.
What if she never gets visible again?
Easy, Johnny. Susan, concentrate. Think about your physical form. Try to imagine yourself visible.
I'll try, darling.
Look, it's working.
I can feel it.
Oh, Susan, it is working.
Oh, it feels so strange. Oh.
Boy, you were lucky. We might never have seen you again. Richard, you were crazy for proceeding with this experiment. How do you know she won't turn invisible again?
Oh, Ben, I'm all right now.
Oh, sure, you're okay now, but what about a minute ago? And what's going to happen to the rest of us, wise guys?
Ben, I'm sick and tired of your insults and complaining. I didn't purposely...
And I'm sick and tired of you, period, bub. In fact, I'm going to paste you one right in that smug face of yours. I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Ben, wait, Ben.
What's happening to him, sis?
I don't know, Johnny.
His skin is cracking.
He's turning into orange rocks.
Wait, Ben.
Don't try to talk yourself out of this one, Doc. I'm going to nail you.
He pulled that tree right out of the ground.
He's turning into some kind of a thing. Oh, Reed, darling, do something.
Reed, darling, bah!
Oh, no, you know, you know. You've had this coming for a long time, Ben.
Oh, Reed, not you too.
What's going on, sis? What's happening to Reed's arms and legs?
I don't know, darling. They're like rubber bands or something.
They stretch like elastic, even his neck.
What am I doing?
What's happened to me?
What's happened to all of us?
You've turned into monsters, all of you. It's those terrible cosmic rays. Look at me. They've gotten me, too. My body's beginning to play. And I'm lighter than air. I can fly. Oh, wow, I can really fly.
Oh, Johnny. Johnny.
It's okay, sis. I just feel a little warm, that's all.
Minutes later, Johnny Storm's flame has subsided, and he returns to the others. Together, they watch a small brush fire which started, burn itself out. And then they stand silently, each absorbed in his own startling thoughts.
We've changed, all of us. We're more than just human.
Listen to me. You too, Ben. Together we have more power than any humans have ever had. Why, we...
You don't have to make no speech, Big Shot. We understand. We gotta use our power to help mankind, right?
Right, Ben.
I'm gonna call myself the Human Torch. I'm with you all the way.
Count me in, too. I'm the Invisible Girl.
I guess I ain't Ben Grimm no more. I'll be what Susan called me. The Thing.
And I'll call myself Mr. Fantastic.
And so was born the Fantastic Four. From that moment on, the world could never be the same. And now, knowing some pertinent history, let's return to the relative present. This is the first time Dr. Reed Richards has brought the fabulous foursome together since that fateful flight, and the task awaiting them is truly awesome.
I brought you here to see some photographs I just received from Washington.
Pictures?
What are they, pin-ups?
This one's an aerial shot of what used to be a nuclear power plant in the Soviet Union.
What made that big hole in the earth?
The same thing that made this hole in a power plant in Southern California.
And this one in Australia?
It's happening all over the world. Wait, according to the steady pulses on this seismograph, another one is about to go.
And halfway around the world in French Africa.
What is that sound, André?
It is like the ground is shaking under my feet. And that sound, it sounds like gnawing.
An earthquake in the sand? How is that possible?
The earth is going mad.
Look, the entire installation is peeling in. Something below.
But the worst is yet to come for these unfortunate French legionnaires. Not only did their nuclear generator sink into the undulating earth, but...
What in the name of...
Oh, it is some kind of giant blood beast! Artillery! Bring the artillery!
But of what use is artillery against an enormous creature whose hide is tough enough to dig through countless tons of rock-hard earth? There is no artillery to stop a monster that can crush a modern tank with but one flaw. But just as it seems, there is nothing can stop this merciless menace.
Enough! Listen to the roar! Our mission here is finished!
And the Goliath stops in his tracks. For even a monster such as this needs a master. A master known as the Mole Man. Back at the strategy meeting amongst the Fantastic Four...
You see, it's happened again.
But how?
That's why I brought you together. Our mission is to find out. By studying the previous cave-ins, I've pinpointed a location that is exactly in the middle of all of them. This is where we've got to go to find the answer.
What's the name of this place?
Monster Island.
Monster Island? That's just a fairy tale. There's no such real place called Monster Island.
But hours later, in their private jet, the four see a strange mountain rising from the sea like an unearthly, grotesque face.
There it is.
That's horrible looking.
Wow! Monster Island!
Little dreaming of the adventure that awaits them, the Fantastic Four land and begin the long climb to the top of the forbidding peak.
Wait, I hear something.
It's coming from below.
Look down there.
Six eyes, coming out of that hole.
A living, three-headed nightmare hurls forth from the bowels of Monster Island.
Quick, turn invisible, Sue.
Seeing one of his intended victims vanish before his eyes, the monster halts in bewilderment.
Just enough time for me to make a hoop out of my resilient arm.
And, like a cowpoke roping a wild stallion, Mr. Fantastic lassos one of the monstrosity's three heads and slings it far out to sea.
I read about a giant three-headed creature that guards this place, but I never believed it.
But before Mr. Fantastic and Johnny can catch their breaths...
Look out! Cave in!
The earth opens up and literally swallows Reed and Johnny.
Hang on there, boy!
Down, down, down they plummet, lost in the darkness, until finally, at the bottom of the pit...
It's pitch black in here.
What sort of place can this be? Say, Reed, over here.
What is it?
Feels like a door in the wall. It's moving.
Oh, that's light. Why did we try? I can't see.
It's so powerful that I'm blacking out.
It could be minutes or hours later when the two regain consciousness, only to find themselves garbed in strange, heavy suits that protect them from the blinding, unearthly glow.
Oh, my head. That light actually overpowered us.
How did we get into these clothes?
It is about time you came around.
Who are you? I can't see.
Where are we?
One thing at a time. The reason for your blindness is the glare from this valley of diamonds.
Brighter than the sun.
And as for me, I am the Mole Man.
While Reed and Johnny are dazzled by the Valley of Diamonds, more action awaits Ben and Sue on the surface.
I've got to find Reed and Johnny. Wait, what's that sound?
Other ears and eyes sense the approaching menace.
Look up behind you, Sue!
The second gigantic guardian of Monster Isle is powerful beyond belief. But he is fighting a foe whose very body has been supercharged with cosmic energy. A foe that cannot be stopped.
You've done it, Ben. You've beaten him.
What'd you expect? I am the thing, ain't I?
Oh, you saved my life.
Never mind that. Let's go find your brother and that skinny boyfriend of yours.
Oh, Ben, if you could only stop hating Reed for what happened to you.
And what of Reed Richards and Johnny? Using that Marvel magic again, let's descend to the depths of Monster Isle, where we find them confronted by the strange Mole Man.
So you have never heard of me before? Well, soon the world will know my name, for soon the Mole Man will control the power of the Earth.
How did you get here?
It all started long ago. The people of the surface world mocked me.
Me? Go out with you? Don't make me laugh.
I know you're qualified, but I can't hurry. You'd scare away all my business.
Really? Is that a mask you're wearing?
Finally, I could endure it no longer. I resolved to find a place of my own. The legendary world at the center of the Earth. The world where I could be king. And then, when I had almost abandoned hope, soon I saw where it led, to the land of my dreams. But the sudden shock of my outcry in that blue, silent cavern caused a violent avalanche. When it was over, I had somehow survived, but I fell into the Valley of Diamonds and was permanently blinded. That was the last of my misfortunes. My luck has changed as I mastered the creatures down here. Made them do my bidding. With their talents, I carved an empire out of the Earth's core. I conquered everything around me. I developed the ability to deal with the dark and the blindness. Yes, take this pole. Try to hit me with it.
What do you mean?
Go ahead. Take a swing at me. Again. See? I have radar like a bat. I am able to evade whatever danger approaches me and return the attack in kind.
Reed, you okay?
He's not hurt. But see how easily I defeat anyone who dares defy me. But now, at my signal, those creatures from the bowels of the Earth shall destroy you, my witless intruders. We'll see about that
thing, sis.
Johnny!
It is too late. The die is cast.
Look out, Ben!
Behind you!
Hearing the Mole Man's signal, his largest and most deadly underground creature thunderously lifts itself into the room, its brainless rage directed at the ill-fated four.
Flame on. Help is on the way. Things are going to get kind of warm around here.
Back and forth like a flaming hornet, the human torch buzzes the gigantic creature who tries to grasp the frantically flying youth.
The Mole Man is getting away.
Not if I can help it. And I can.
You haven't won yet. You can't beat my entire menagerie of monsters.
And then they come. Like pieces from an insane nightmare, roaring, running, snarling, the Mole Man's entire army of underground gargoyles. But the unbelievable power of the torch flying between his fantastic allies and the pursuing hordes blazes a swath of melting earth.
This will cause a landslide, stealing those fissures from us.
You did it!
And we're free, too!
We better get out of here. This whole place is going to erupt.
And moments later...
What happened to the Mole Man? I left him there. He'll never bother anyone.
Look, he's destroyed the entire island.
It's the best way. There was no place for him in our world.
I just hope we've seen the last of him.
Whether we've seen the last of the Mole Man or not, one thing is certain. We'll see much more of the world's most incredible quartet in the weeks to come as we pursue the further adventures of the Fantastic Four.
Be listening again on Monday when the Fantastic Four face the marvelous menace of the Miracle Man. The Fantastic cast is...
Cynthia Adler.
Bob Maxwell.
Bill Murray.
Jim Pappas.
Jerry Terheiden.
Narrated by Smilin' Stan Lee.
So there you go. There's the first episode of the Fantastic Four radio program titled Meet the Mole Man. And what I think is kind of unique and interesting about this radio show is that it's not an adaptation of the Fantastic Four. It is literally going through the very first comic, Fantastic Four number one from back in 1961. And it's a reenactment of the comic. You have the voice actor. I mean, it's not word for word, but it's almost word for word. You know, they skip over stuff to save time and stuff like that. But yeah, the narration and the characters is pretty much taken right out of the comic book. And you'll see that as we continue on through these episodes. And so, yeah, we are introduced to the Fantastic Four. The world is introduced to the Fantastic Four. It establishes these characters. It tells you their origin. But, it starts before their origin and then goes and tells their origin as a backstory, which is kind of cool. It starts out, you have the Fantastic Four flare, which is iconic now. And we see all the different powers of the Fantastic Four. And then we go back and we see their origin. And then we get into the Mole Man stuff. And, you know, when people think of villains of the Fantastic Four, a lot of people think of Dr. Doom, right? He has become their arch nemesis, you know, especially Reed Richards, you know, his arch nemesis is Dr. Doom. But there's so many others, and we'll get to him pretty soon here. But we have a few other things to take care of first. but the Mole Man has been there from the beginning. And I've always kind of had a soft spot for the Mole Man and the Moloids, which we don't see the Moloids here, but we see all the monsters on Monster Isle. And I've always thought it's interesting that at the end of this issue, or the end of this episode of the radio show, I guess, he blows up the island, Monster Island, in the very first issue. But we know that Monster Island either comes back or a different island is determined as Monster Island because the Mole Man will be around for a long time. And when he's done well, I always kind of enjoy the Mole Man. But it's kind of a weird character, right? And that's the whole thing with these Fantastic Four comic books. It was all weird. This was all new. This was all different. That's funny. Before there was the all-new, all-different X-Men, the Fantastic Four in and of itself, Marvel Comics in and of itself was all-new, all-different. Because, you know, this was Stan Lee. This was Stan Lee's attempt to do something different. He was tired. You know, the Timely Comics before it became Marvel. It might have been Marvel just before the Fantastic Four. I can't remember the history of that. But, you know, they were doing comics like everybody else was. They were doing monster comics and westerns and romance-type comic books. And Stan Lee didn't like the established stereotype of what a superhero comic was, you know, with like all the Golden Age stuff. It was all larger-than-life characters that were paragons of virtue and strength and and righteousness or whatever. And he was almost ready to give it up. And his wife talked him in to, well, just do what you want to do. Do what you feel like doing. And if you get fired, oh, well, you know. And so he came up with this idea of the Fantastic Four and put it out there. And it became a huge sensation and started the Marvel Age of Comics. It was all built on the backs of the Fantastic Four. And pretty soon you had the Avengers, and then you had the X-Men, and then you had all these different comics coming out. And it was an interrelated world where they interacted with each other. It was in the world that we knew. It was in New York City, in the United States, in the world that we know. It wasn't some made-up thing like Metropolis or Central City or Star City or anything like that. It was happening in our world. And the characters were fallible, right? They were different. You had the grumpy Thing. Ben Grimm as the Thing was super grumpy. And the Human Torch was a hothead. And Reed Richards was a little bit arrogant and didn't always think through the ramifications of what he was doing. Unfortunately, at this time, the Invisible Girl, or Sue Storm, was kind of a caricature of a character. You know, she was the damsel. She was unsure of how to use her powers and a super valuable member of the team, but not realized as such until later years, you know. But yeah, I really love this stuff. You know, paging through the old comic, or I'd say paging through, but looking at it online is it's just, I love the style of it. Of course, it's Jack Kirby, and it's interesting, the art in these early episodes or issues of the comic, Ben Grimm looks a lot different. He looks, what do they say? He looks like oatmeal. He doesn't have the platelets quite yet, and the rock exterior that we're used to. He's really kind of lumpy. I think even Kirby really didn't have a handle. You know, he through the Fantastic Four, he would discover, or he would become the Jack Kirby that everybody knows. But you can definitely tell that this is a, you know, they're pretty much writing a monster comic, but they're including elements of superhero in it. And I think that's interesting. You know, getting this out to the audience, I don't know how many of you have read the original Fantastic Four comic books or what your feelings on it are. I think this is an interesting way to explore it through this radio show. I kind of love that Stan Lee is the narrator in this. And then, oh, did you catch who plays the Human Torch? That it was Bill Murray. I guess this was just before he started up on Saturday Night Live. It was just a gig that he got doing this voice acting for this show. And it's kind of funny to hear Bill Murray, as you recognize him as Bill Murray in this. Hopefully that won't take you out of the show. But anyway, I just love that I found this old radio show. I love that it exists, and I'm happy to share it with you. So we'll be back tomorrow with the Menace of the Miracle Man. So we had the Mole Man, now we have the Miracle Man. The choice to go to the Miracle Man next, I thought was interesting as well. And I'll tell you why tomorrow. Journey on, everyone. This installment of the Superhero Marathon has been produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, which means that you are encouraged to share this with anybody and everybody, but you can't change it, you can't sell it, and you need to let people know where it came from.